Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Hello, can you hear me? I've got my Italian voice on. You may be seated. Hey, Lawrence, good to see you, mate. Oh, wow. Yeah, I feel the joy. I said to Pastor Nameen, I just feel there's a spirit of joy over the house today. Sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We're in a season of the day, the season of the sunset, the sunrise coming over Pneuma. Amen. I'm really excited. And I feel really privileged to be here. Oh my goodness, I love our house so much. My favorite place to preach is home. It really is. And if you don't see me here, it's because 12 months ago, the Lord said to Ted and I, who's with me tonight, to go to East and help out at East. Do we have any East people here? A few people? Just scream really loud so I can hear you. Yay! And so we are definitely here. We're involved in the mornings at East location, and we absolutely love it. Like, I love this house so much. I love Pastors Raf and Nameen and the whole team here. So thank you for the privilege of having me tonight. And wow, I just love how the Lord speaks. I'm going to get straight into it because I feel like I've got a lot to say, being Italian. And thank you, Derek, for hanging out. I know what it's like to be on a worship team and then, the people to go, could I just have the keyboard player up? And then, like, 6 hours later, you can go home. But, you know, we've got to have you up here. It's nice. It's, like, special. He's been my brother for, 20-plus years. Started being friends when I was 5, so, like, I'm 30 now. So just so you know, do the math. Why are you laughing? What's so funny? All right, here we go. I thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, I just ask tonight, Lord, that your will be done. I thank you for the privilege of serving your house. And, Lord, I don't want to just share good ideas. I don't want to just share clever things. But I ask that your words would enter my words and that as I speak, it would be your voice. Because it's your voice that brings healing. You're the voice of many waters. You're the one that releases rivers of refreshing. And so right now, Father God, we just welcome you into this space and we say, you be front and center and release your presence and your favor in a way that is unprecedented. Lord, I love that we move from glory to glory. We don't get stuck in old glories. We actually move from glory to glory when it's your way. And so, Lord, we say, thank you for your glory to glory. Release it in this place in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right, this is so fun, what the Lord has been talking to me about. And what I want to share, what I've titled my message tonight is Life in Stop Motion. Life in Stop Motion. Now, I'm going to tell you the end of my message, why and how this message came to be. But I'm just going to go through what I feel the Lord's saying. It's a prophetic message. And it all came from the time I decided to play a joke on my then 10-year-old son, which was a couple of years ago now. So I don't know if you guys are into Elf on the Shelf, but I think they're the most horrible, ugliest things I've ever seen in my life. Do you know what Elf on the Shelf is? Those little elf things. Anyway, my son, he was going to school. They had this Elf on the Shelf in their schoolroom and they would move it every time the kids would leave the room. And so Asa, my 10-year-old, would go, Mum, it's crazy. This elf just keeps moving by itself. Sometimes it's hanging on the roof. And I'm like, this is just sounds like a demon to me. That's what I'm feeling like, right? It just felt weird. Anyway, he brought one home because Grandma thought it was cool that he loved Elf on the Shelf so much and bought him one as a gift. And so I thought it would be funny to buy one of those apps, you know, those video editing apps on your phone, and do this stop motion of this Elf on the Shelf in his room when he wasn't home. So what I did, don't ask me, I got no time for this stuff, but I just thought it was awesome to give this a go. So I did this whole story that took me about 2 hours where the Elf on the Shelf walked in the room, crawled up his bookshelf, got a book, went to his bed, got under the covers, read the book and went to sleep. So I created this whole video, stop motion, of this elf on the shelf doing this thing. So he comes home from school and I'm like, Asa, you are not going to believe what I just saw. And I showed him this video and his eyes got so big and he was like, what? And then I said, hey, it was me. I did it, right? And I thought it was a really funny thing to do. And the Lord, I don't know if he does this to you, but he talks to me in the everyday things. And he was like, Roma, I've got something to say. This is actually why I got you to do all this. And he said, I want my people to live in stop motion. I want my people to live in stop motion. Now, I had to even go look that up because I actually didn't know what it means. So I'm going to share it with you and share what I felt the Lord say. So stop motion involves photography and physically manipulating objects within a frame. And then each frame is played in a sequence. And then the technique creates the effect of an object moving itself. If you're a Wallace and Gromit fan, Shaun the Sheep, do you like those movies? Am I the only one? That's what stop motion animation is. And I'm actually going to show you a video just for a minute that you can watch of what that actually looks like if I'm still not making sense. So we're just going to watch that.
Here's how it works.
It's serious. Enjoy the good life at the moment. He's licking his lollies, watching TV.
The camera takes a photograph. Then the animator moves the model slightly and takes another photo. And then they do it again. And again. And again. This goes on for a long time because it takes 12 photographs to create just 1 second of the program. Let's take a look at what happens when they put all these photographs together. Bitzer finally gets to lick his lolly. So, from the first drawings to the final animation, you now know the secrets behind bringing the Farmyard Gang to life.
Who would have thought you'd watch Shaun the Sheep in church on a Sunday night? But that is what stop motion looks like. It's incredibly time-consuming. A video shot on a video camera usually runs at 24 frames per second, but each photo taken for a stop motion project is one frame. So what does that mean? It means you need to take 24 photos just to get 1 second. 1 second. So in Wallace and Gromit, they remold the characters in between that for every single frame. I cannot believe how much work that would take. So let's think about it. I actually did the math. If each photo takes 30 seconds, creating a 5-minute video takes 60 hours without including stopping to remold the figures. A 1-hour movie like Wallace and Gromit takes 3,600 hours just on video shots. It doesn't include script writing, storyboards, creating the sets, remolding, editing. So if you put it into context, 3 months of full-time work is just for the photos. Now you're probably like going, Grandma, what has this got to do with anything? And I did too when the Lord was talking to me. Let me tell you what he said to me. He said, my people often feel like they've been in a season of starting and then stopping. They feel like they have no traction because it just feels like a whole bunch of interruptions. And maybe you've felt like that in your life. Maybe you're in a season right now where you feel like you had momentum and then there was a stop. You might feel this way if maybe the vision God gave you is delayed. Maybe you've started something and every step is a battle, takes a long time. Or maybe you started something and there was lots of motion, but then things started to slow down a bit. Maybe illness got in the way, an unexpected death, church hurt. All those things can put us in a season of stop. Maybe you've been hurt and you've pulled back and you've retreated, you've doubted the call on your life. And you know, when the Lord was saying this phrase to me, stop motion, He did not seem concerned about any of those things at all. In fact, I had this sense that instead of the Lord having a problem, he had a completely different perspective. And so I went a bit deeper. And as I started to pray, he showed me this beautiful picture. And he was the producer. He was the producer. And at every frame, he was the one putting a pause on it. And he was moulding and he was shaping and he was moving each article that was in the shot. And he was patient and he was okay with the time frames. Wow. And this is what he said to me when I saw that picture. He said, if my people would just wait for me to move the pieces, for me to do the remodelling and for me to move them, we'd have a perfect shot every time. But they keep rushing forward. They keep going ahead of me. But I'm the producer and I need to get the right frame, and it's okay when there's a stop. And I actually sense stop motion is for the church right now. For our church, I think it is actually a global word, I do. But I specifically feel for Pneuma, it doesn't mean we're stopping. Frame's just getting right. God is doing a reshaping. And that's not just a corporate word, that is an individual word. If you feel like there's been a stop or there is a pause, I want you to know it is not a delay. Or if you feel things seem to be accelerating and then there was a stop, I'm telling you, for as much as there is delay and there is time consummation, there are actually some benefits to stop motion. Here's some benefits in the practical that I'm going to prophesy over you in the spiritual. So stop motion can bring inanimate objects to life. What seems mundane and ordinary is given personality and emotion, which then springs to life for others to see. And this is what I prophesy over you. The Lord is calling you out of the ordinary. He is putting you in a place where you are free to be fully you, and he is bringing you back to life. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by his grace that you have been saved. Another benefit of stop motion. Those who work in this field say they learn skills such as teamwork, problem solving, creative thinking. So I prophesy this over you. The Lord is growing a new creative anointing on your life and this house. He is releasing divine intelligence that will cause you to think in new ways, that will bring solutions in creativity. And I decree Proverbs 8 over you. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight and I have power, says the Lord. Another benefit of stop motion, as far as animation and filmmaking techniques go, it's, as we've heard, it's one of the most intricate and labor-intensive, but it's also one of the most unique, and the characters really shine through. And I prophesy this over you. The Lord is using all the delays to let you know that he is still in control of the story, and it's a unique one. Philippians 1 verse 6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Amen? Amen, amen. So, in the context of your life, if you're feeling like that, stop motion is going to bring dead things to life. He's making you alive. He's making that which seems mundane and ordinary, unique and interesting. He's creating new problem-solving techniques in your life, because that's what he wants for the body of Christ. He wants you to think out of the box. He's creating a new teamwork, a new unity. He's creating creative thinking, releasing divine supernatural intelligence. And finally, He's paying attention to the details of your life. So precious to me. And so, my friends, I want to encourage you, those delays are not inconveniences. Those delays are creating a beautiful storyboard that is your life. Not just for you, but for generations. And I hear the Lord say this, I am thinking of the whole picture, not just one scene. If you feel stuck in a moment, don't worry. It's me just getting the frame right. If you allow me to position you and wait for my timing, I am going to do things in such a way that not only allows you to succeed, but it will give you a story that others can learn and enjoy from. Amen. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But you're going to have to do it in His timing, not yours. I hate it. I'm the most impatient person in the world. Ask my husband. I think maybe being a professional, just, you know, I don't know about you, but if you're someone who lives prophetically, I'm seeing things all the time over here and I just want to be over here and I've got to do everything to pull myself into the present and be present. And I'm constantly hearing the Lord say, Roma, slow down, stop motion. I'm the producer. Let me produce. And you know, when I was creating that horrible Elf on the Shelf movie, because it wasn't very good, it was really easy for me to take the shots, and if I skipped too fast and I played it back and watched it, it kind of didn't make sense, because you have to be so intricate, right? And I felt like the Lord say, you know, when you move too far ahead in your life, there's gaps in the shots. There's gaps in the story. And when the producer moves it frame by frame, that's what makes sense of the story. But if we move too far forward, there's parts missing. And this is what happens when that happens. We cause those who are watching to be confused because they're not taken on the journey. This is mind-blowing for me that if I rush forward, you know, I don't know why we praise fast living, people that are really on the ball and everything's quick and fast. That's awesome, but living like that as a life, sometimes people get lost. It's hard to take people on the journey with you. And just like in the book of Acts, you know, when Paul and Silas, one of my favorite parts of the scripture where it talks about when they're worshiping the Lord, there's this tiny little section of the scripture that says, and as the prisoners were listening, there's people listening. There's people watching. But for the story to make sense, sometimes there's got to be a full stop. And the full stop is beautiful. It's a way we disciple people. It actually is a way that we take our families on the journey with us. So you're not just running hard and running fast, but your friends and your family and those around you are going, I get it. I get it. I can come along with this. I actually feel like too much movement makes us lose momentum. And I sense in the spirit that if you're in a season like that, the Lord is slowing things down to get the right shot. And that this delay in your life, this pause that maybe is frustrating you, frustrates me too, I get it. But it might just be because it's not about you. It's about those who are watching. It's about those who are listening. God is trying to catch everyone in His move so that He can move them forward. And sometimes He needs to slow you down to do it. So don't get frustrated. There's a bigger picture. And I really felt the Lord wanted you to know tonight that the delay is not because you're doing anything wrong. It's because you have a bigger part to play than you thought. Be encouraged by that. You know, the good news is that God sees the whole picture, eh? I love this scripture, Isaiah 46, verse 10. I have made the known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. And Revelation 22, verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And you know, as I started to think about this, this is the way my brain works, I started to notice this theme of stop motion in the scriptures, in particular in the life of Jesus. I want to share with you what I saw in this pattern, because Jesus seemed to have this stop and start many times in the Gospels. You know, well, let's start just at Luke 2 when he goes with his family into Jerusalem as a 12-year-old boy. Let's read that. Luke 2, 43 to 44. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, if you're a mum right now, that's like really annoying. If you can't find your kids, it freaks you out, doesn't it? 44, thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding. And what happens when his parents see him? They're like, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And what does Jesus respond with in verse 49? Why are you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? There's a start. You could have imagined right there, wow, that's when Jesus' ministry is going to start. We don't hear anything till he gets to his 30s. And we hear the story. I love the story of when Jesus turns the water into wine. And I love when there's no wine left in John 2, verse 4. And she says, the mama says, ask Jesus, he'll fix it. And what happens? Jesus says, woman, why are you involving me in this? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. Stop. But then in verse 5, his mother says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Start. Then we don't see anything again until his public ministry. He gets baptized by John the Baptist in Matthew 3. And what happens in verse 16? As soon as Jesus is baptized, he comes out of the water, heaven is opened. Verse 17, and a voice says, this is my son who I love. With him I am well pleased. We see a start. God's pleased. It's the beginning, the start of his ministry. But what happens? The first thing he does doesn't go and preach, do a miracle. He goes into the desert. There's a stop. He fasts and he prays. Then Matthew 4, he begins to preach. And if you know your Gospels, there's signs and wonders following. There's a start. And there are many, many stories I can share with this theme in the life of Jesus until he's finally arrested and he's put to death. And it feels like a stop, but it's not, is it? I have to just read this. I know you know the story, but my spirit leaps as I share the start again in Acts 2, verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Stop motion, stop motion, stop motion. You might be going, well, hang on, Roma, I'm confused. That's not really God stopping. That's right, because the pause is part of the story. When you're reading it like the stories, it makes sense, doesn't it? But it's full of stop motion. And he understood that this life of starting and stopping includes the momentum of the pause. And he understands your pause too, and mine. He understands what you're going through. We see this right through the Bible. You'll start to think of stories yourself. I'll quickly share stop motion in the Psalms. I love this. You know, you're probably thinking of that word as I share, Selah. Have you ever heard that word that happens in the Psalms? Which often means, you know, theologians fight over what this means. Some scholars believe that it was musical notation that meant to say you just pause here. There's no music right now. And some people say that it's a rest, that it's silence. Most people agree it means a pause, a place to pause and reflect on what you're hearing, what you're reading, to think on what is being spoken, sung or written. Now this word, it occurs 74 times in the Bible. That's a lot of stopping and starting if you ask me. But the first time that it is revealed in the Psalms, in the King James Version, is in Psalm 3. Now, why this is interesting is because most people believe that that psalm was actually written when David is literally fleeing from his life because Saul wants to kill him. He's running, he's running, he's running. But we find the word not just once, but we find the word Selah three times. It's the most times that word is put in a psalm. So in this season of him running, 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 the word Selah is put in portions of those verses. And that just really struck me. And I started to think about that. And it made me realize that, you know, in the momentum of struggle and war, we see the importance of the pause even then. But how quickly do we want to run from those uncomfortable moments? Nobody likes the stop. But just like the pauses in your life, it is placed strategically to help you understand the feeling, the intention, the continuation of the musical masterpiece that is your life. Stop motion is Selah. Let's look at what a stop does. It acts as a prompt to consider and emphasize God's promises and truth. The stop feels like an inconvenience, but God's perspective, the pause in a piece of music, is part of the symphony of life. To stop moving helps you see the big picture because you remove yourself from motion. It gets you out of the rat race. And let me tell you, and I'm sure you've seen it if you've been in church long enough, even church can be a rat race if we let it. Pausing means you have to be present because it requires you to think. To think and reflect. Pausing brings the awareness of God moving in our lives. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Pausing gives you strength. Isaiah 40, 31, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And you know, the battle is won in moments of stillness. Oh, I just feel restful just even saying that, right? Exodus 14, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep still. Wow. 1 Samuel 12, verse 16, now then stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Exodus 14, verse 13, but God told the people, do not be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. And my prophetic word to you tonight is this: the Lord might be slowing you down, but it's to speed you up. Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. You are being set up, my friends, in a good way. Don't give up in the stop. There's power in the pause. So what does this mean practically? Does it mean you just stop and do nothing? That's not what God's stillness looks like. I'm sure you know that. Romans 12 verse 12 gives us a bit of a hint. I love this scripture. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and be constant in prayer. Rejoice, be patient, pray. Rejoice, be patient, pray. Rejoice, be patient, pray. That's what stop motion is like. Creating intentional rhythms in your life so that when those seasons happen, you are using them the right way. And, you know, the pause then becomes sacred. That's what I really believe. You know, the delays in my own life have done something beautiful in my heart. Not many people know this, but I struggled with severe endometriosis for over 30 years of my life. Incredibly painful, 6 operations. And you know, I believed in the healing power of Jesus. I still do. I saw lots of other people being healed around me of that very thing, oftentimes when I laid hands on them. But it was 30 years of me feeling like I was in a stop. I couldn't actually do a lot compared to other people. Most people wouldn't know that. They would see me, you know, ministering, or at the time we were touring, doing music, but they didn't see, my husband saw it, me popping lots of medication and then sleeping for 3 days to compensate with that pain. And I felt, maybe you felt this way too, I felt like, what's wrong with me? God can't use me when I'm like this. But he did. And I'll tell you what that season of stopping did, that season of reflection did. It actually made me appreciate people that had chronic pain in their lives. It made me appreciate people that could do far less than I could do. It made me hungry for the healing power of Jesus to touch people's lives. It made me run to the scriptures. It made me hide myself in Jesus for decades. I'm being honest, for decades. And I'm out of that season now. I don't have any pain. I'm good. But I remember. I remember what happened in the stop. I remember that Jesus heals. I remember that it's not a delay. I remember that it's not because you've done something wrong. You know, I mean, I had everybody say to me in that season, it's because you've got sin in your life. Or it's, you know, who haven't you forgiven? And, you know, I did, you've probably done this too. I went through the list on my phone and forgave every single person I could think of, and I was still sick. And then I was like, Lord, is there anything? Have I got anything? I did it all, and it was good that I did it all. Checked my heart. But at the end of the day, there was freedom in knowing that in the midst of it, the Lord was going, Roma, you're good. I love you. You're okay. It doesn't matter if you're flawed. It doesn't matter if there's been an interruption or a disruption. I am still the producer of the movie. And I have a good ending. It's a Hollywood ending where everything ends beautifully, or a Disney ending. Nobody dies in the end. God is good. The story is one of empowerment and overcoming. Now, I want to tell you why this message is so precious to me before we end, and we're going to have some ministry time in a moment. And that is because this message was actually written a year ago. And I never preached it. So I was meant to go and minister at a church in New South Wales, and I got my message ready, and I spent hours going through this and what the Lord was saying. I was like, wow, this is God. This is a now word. And then I got to the church where I was meant to preach, and during the worship, the Lord said, no, I don't want you to preach that. And then I had a panic attack, if I'll be honest. No, I didn't. I just was like, well, what am I going to do? But you know what? When you follow the leading of the Lord, he's got a better idea anyway. So I didn't preach it. And then I was like, okay, well, the next time I preach, I'll use it. So I had it ready. The Lord said, no, I don't want you to preach it then. For a whole year, God has gone, no, no, no. I got to December and I was like, Lord, I'm so confused, because he did this 3 times to me. So there's 3 messages that I would say a message takes me 15 to 20 hours to put together. There's 3 messages that I hadn't preached. And I'm like, Lord, I am so confused. Why did you ask me to put all this together? Did I get it wrong? Right? And he said to me, No, they're actually for next year because there's some stuff that's going to happen and you're going to need to have these messages ready. And I want you to know that it's really me because the prophetic message happened long before all the stuff is happening. And so even my own message was stop motion. But now it's burning in my heart. And I want to end with this scripture and then I want to pray. I want to prophesy. I've got some prophetic words that I want to give to people. But if you have been in a season of delay, if you have been in a season of stopping and starting, if you're feeling that discouragement, I mean, there is a spirit of joy in this house tonight. I said it to mean as I walked in that I sensed the Lord saying, joy is your portion. And we saw that in the worship, which was just so beautiful. But I want to share this as a final encouragement to you. Habakkuk, is that how you say it? I don't know. Habakkuk, let's just call it that. 2 verse 3. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. And I prophesy that over you today because I tell you, the enemy would like that pause that the Lord created to be a permanent delay, but that is not going to be the case here. In fact, before I came on the stage, I didn't think I was going to share this publicly, but I'm going to share it. I saw a spiritual stronghold in this place. It was black and it had wings, and I saw it immediately be dismantled by an army of heaven. It's like they just came in and it was swift and a stronghold was broken over this house. And I believe it was so fast that it took the enemy by surprise. I saw it go in the middle of the worship. And I believe that strongholds are going to be broken tonight. So we're not going to muck around. Let's stand up. Come down the front if you need to, you know, just get right with God again. If it's healing that you need, this can be for anything. If there's healing that you need in your body, if you're just like, Lord, I just need a fresh start. Lord, I recommit my life to you. I'm sorry, Lord, that I hated the pause. I'm sorry, Lord, that I thought I was the problem. Come down the front. We're going to lay hands on you. But I also just want to release some prophetic words that I'm sensing. Jade, are you here? Who is leading? Oh, Jade, my heart leapt when I saw you leading. And you can come down the front for a minute. I actually saw in a semicircle over your head the word purity. And you were releasing that as you worshipped. And the Lord says, thank you for keeping your purity. Thank you for keeping your purity. And that is the voice that is needed right now. And now is the time. You thought the time was maybe 18 months ago, but the Lord says no. It was for such a time as this. It was a stop motion. That's all that it was, Jade. But the Lord says the voice of purity is the overarching sound that you are going to release in greater measure. We ask for an increase of anointing, of the purity, of the prophetic song, Lord God, the prophetic song in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Is Brett here? I don't know if you've left, Brett, but are you here? I would love to prophesy over you. The Lord spoke to me on Thursday. Would it be all right if you came down here? I don't want to embarrass you, but I am going to embarrass you. The way the Lord works with me when I'm praying for people is I'll just close my eyes and someone will just come to my mind. I try not to make anything happen, and straight away your face came up. And the Lord said the most beautiful things about you, Brett. He said, you know what I love about Brett? He said, I love that he doesn't care about fame, doesn't care about the platform. He doesn't care about, you know, being the star of the show. But what he does care about is being fully seen and fully known for who he really is. And he said, I want you to tell Brett that I see him completely. I see him fully, that even if other people don't see you that way, I see you that way, says the Lord, and you are fully known by me. And then as I thought of that, and I felt the Lord's love for you as he was saying that, and I was thanking the Lord for you, Brett. I was like, I just thank the Lord for this beautiful man and his heart and how much he just genuinely cares just about relationship above anything else. And I saw a vision. I actually went into a vision and I saw you on a ship, and you were looking at a map, and the sea was really rough, and you're looking at this map and you're going, oh my goodness, I'm so confused. I actually don't know where to go right now. This map is not making any sense. And then I saw Jesus come up behind you, and it's funny, and you started to laugh, both of you, but he turned the map around the other way and he said, Brett, the map's upside down. And you started to laugh and he started to laugh because it wasn't a mistake. It was just that he was showing you a different perspective at the time. And I hear the Lord saying he's giving you a new perspective, and things that didn't make sense, the way to go, he's saying is now going to make sense because he's turning the map around. And he said, tell him to hold on a little bit longer. Hold on, Brett, a little bit longer, because the map is going to make sense. He loves you, Brett, and he has called you for such a time as this. The enemy has tried to strike you down, but it is not going to happen. And the map is the right way round for you to see the future that is laid before you, in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just listening to the Lord right now. Just let me have a few seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, joy. Joy is the word of the night. The Lord actually said to me, he's never said this to me before, but he said, I'll never work out how to say it. He said, there's going to be some demons tonight that aren't going to like what you're going to say, but they're going to have nothing to say about it. Their power is gone. And for some of you, it has actually been a spiritual stronghold. It's turned into a spiritual stronghold. That pause, because we didn't understand it. It's like the enemy got in. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we cast that spirit of disappointment out of you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, it is gone. We restore hope. Lord, restore hope right now into every person here. Is somebody here, your marriage, you had a split up. It wasn't recent. It's been a while, but it's caused a deep wound in your heart. I don't know what this means, but the Lord says, I am your husband. I am your husband. I will take care of you. I saw the pain that that created, but the future is bright, says the Lord. I have a future and a hope for you, and you're going to be okay, says the Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right, lift your hands with me right now. Lord Jesus, firstly, Lord, I want to say we're sorry if we've thought the stop in our lives was because we'd made mistakes or we'd done something wrong. Lord, we repent. We say, God, we welcome any stop, any start, anything where you are the producer, Lord God. And we place our lives back in your hands right now, Lord. And we say, use us, Father. Move us, Father. Let us be a part of your story, God. Lord, we ask for the momentum in the pause, Lord. And as you do that, Father, I thank you that you are restoring the joy of our salvation. I just decree joy, joy, joy. Joy from the spirit of heaviness, Lord God. Joy, joy, joy. Deep joy where we're laughing for absolutely no reason, Father. We're just experiencing your presence in a new and a fresh way. I just release that over every single person here. Yeah, depression's going to go. Depression has got to flee. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Nat, I haven't asked your permission to do this. Natalie Bailey, I'm talking to you. Can you come up the front? I actually want, if this is all right with you, Rap, I would love you to sing something prophetically. Is that okay? Come on up. Because it's a new season for you too.
Break out. Spirit, break out. Break out.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.